Today on Real Radio.
God has bestowed this love. I wonder if angels ever get jealous. I bet they do, in an angel kind of way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, the opening words of chapter 3 reveal a theme that's pretty much common throughout John's writings, and that theme? Love. Now, not just any kind of love, but divine love. The kind of love that comes from the Father and that identifies us, you and me, as His sons and daughters. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called A Fellowship of Love.
Boy, the world is out there trying to figure out who they are. Hey, I know who I am in Christ. Jesus died for my sins. He didn't die for my personality. Jesus died for your sins. Whatever your personality is, that's who you are in Christ. I want to be somebody else. You are who you are. Now, the neat thing is to step back and take a deep breath and say, Lord, you've made me. You've redeemed me. I'm yours. And whatever quirkiness or whatever strangeness or whatever outlandish things about me or timid things about me, I dedicate to you. Change, manipulate, mold, shape, whatever you want. Lord, I'm assured of who I am in Christ. And again, I've told you this before, and I think we need to start a movement. We don't need to ask people anymore if they're born again, because everybody says they're born again these days. The big question is, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Only those who are in, it's like a code. Are you in Christ? Only those who are in Christ will know how to answer that question. People say, well, I'm born again. I got baptized. I got circumcised or scrutinized or whatever kind of thing you want to staple on. I'm saved. On what basis? I'm a member of a church. No. Are you in Christ? That's the key, my friend. And then we ended last week, which dovetails into this service tonight, of a challenge to all of our hearts, in that are we honestly living a life of assurance because God wants us to be? How much so? Look with me as we consider this evening our first point in our study, and I want you to jot these things down, and we'll build up to this slowly. We'll only cover these couple verses. The first thing that we're looking at tonight is looking into the love of God. Looking into the love of God. I want you to picture almost as though we're looking into a window or maybe out of a window or gazing at something. I want you to think about that tonight. Set that in your mind's eye. Maybe for some of you, it's easy to do. Maybe you look out a window at work, or maybe you have a seat, you know, a special place at your house, and you look out and you gaze. I want you to consider the love of God tonight, and I want you to gaze upon the love of God that's going to be considered tonight. The love of God. Just jot that down, and we'll expand this in a moment. Consider this. When Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had earlier said that there are those standing here among us, among you, who will not die until they see the kingdom of God come. And then the very next chapter in Matthew 17, it says, and 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. We believe it's Mount Hermon in northern Galilee, right on the border there. Up into a high mountain. And he was transformed in front of them. And we talked about that last time. And they saw the kingdom come. They saw it right there. Moses and Elijah came and spoke with Jesus. And it says that his countenance was like lightning. It was like the sun. And the robe that Jesus was wearing turned such a bright white. It says it's whiter than any launderer can make white on the earth. The kingdom. Jesus says, you'll see the kingdom come. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, and when he was asked by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? He answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is not declaring that the kingdom of God is in everybody. Sorry, John Lennon. John Lennon said, Jesus said himself, the kingdom of God is in all of us. That's not what he said. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, speaking to the Pharisees, is within you. If you listen to what he went on to say, the kingdom of God is available to every human being, and that's where the kingdom of God truly exists, in you. That's where it begins. It doesn't come see there or see here. The kingdom of God begins within you. Well, I want to see the kingdom come. The kingdom first begins within you, a child of God. The love of God begins to work first in you. This fellowship in the love of God starts in you by the working of the Holy Spirit. The question that the Pharisees asked him in Luke's gospel was when? When will the kingdom come? Jesus says, it does not come with observation. He didn't say it wasn't coming. He just says it doesn't come with observation, like you're thinking. See, they expected a temple to be the headquarters of the nation and the utopia on earth would begin. No, that's not the answer to the question. Jesus didn't deny the kingdom of God coming. He just said it doesn't come with observation. You're not going to look at it and say, there it is on that hilltop. Why? Because it starts in the hearts of men. It's not subject to geographical locale. Not at all. It's not found in the Temple Mount. It's not found among the sanctums of the inner courts there in Jerusalem. It's not found behind the veil of the temple. It's not found at the Ark. God's not interested in that. He says, for the kingdom of God is within you. That is how the Christian, the believer, the one who's in the fellowship of God, the fellowship of love, the Christian tonight, that's how it is that we are the temples of the living God. It's incredible. We are more sanctified to his presence. I have to say this because it's theologically correct. Do I feel like it? Did you hear? Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't feel like it, but scripturally it is true that you and I, who are believers, we are more sacred as a temple than the temple in Jerusalem ever was. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, the Holy Spirit dwelling there. Now, that's a tough thing to swallow, but it's true. The Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and you'll do them. How? By the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Jesus said in John 14, 16, he says, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. The kingdom of God, as Jesus said, is within you. In John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus says to Nicodemus, do not marvel at these things. When I say to you, you must be born again. For the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Mysterious, isn't it? Interesting. But the scripture is the teaching that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Because that's true, we are now called children of God, and God has bestowed upon us a love. Looking into the love of God. And the first thing that we see is that we are to be considering its greatness. This is tough. I think impossible. But we need to consider it. We need to muse upon it. Considering its greatness. When he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Hey, this word manner is an interesting word in the Greek. It means peculiar. What a peculiar love. Oh, that sounds more like a contemporary statement. What a peculiar love. Well, the word goes on to mean unusual love. Never before seen love. Get this. I love this. Honestly, this one a Greek scholar, I read this today. He said it's a out of this world love. I like that. Being the deep theologian that I am. an out of this world love. I like that. Because I'm not too impressed with the level of love the world shows. I want an out of this world love. Don't give me the love of this world. Oh, I love you. You mean today? Oh, I love you. But, you know what I'm saying? God says, I love you. No conditions. The Bible says that God weeps over the death of the wicked. He loves them. Behold what manner. Consider this verse regarding the fellowship of love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates, by the way, it's in the Greek present. He's doing it now. It's not that he demonstrated. He demonstrates. He's doing it now. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I don't know about you, but this world, in fact, we as people, we, even though we would say, I'm not like that, it's true, we have people earn our love. We'd hate to admit it. Especially if you've been around the block a few times. It's why we try to protect our kids from dating. Their hearts get busted, then they reel it back in, then they go date again, their heart gets crushed, then they reel their heart back in, then they meet the right person, and God's got them standing right in front of them, and they won't let their heart out. Their heart's bloody, bruised, diseased, broken, because they've messed around and they've crushed their emotions. They can't be with someone in a relationship that God is trying to establish because all they can think about is that other person. People are bruised, people are broken, and then, you know, you earn my love. You earn it. Jump through the hoops. Christians do this. Christians who are even engaged to other Christians, jump through the hoop. Jump to her. That's terrible. That Christian who's being demanded to jump through the hoop ought to say to that hoop commander, trust God, will ya? Just trust the Lord. I'm not jumping through any more hoops. You trust the Lord. See, we've got this thing. Listen, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's have them clean up their act and then I'll die for them. He could have said that. Where would we have been tonight? While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. That's love, friend. Unqualified. Man, that's love. God's love. While we were yet sinners. Maybe that's why God honors so much the family. When you're a little kid or you're even your teenager, when they blow it, you're upset with them. But man, you never throw them out of the house. You might spank them. You might ground them. You might take the car keys away. You might whatever. But you know what? They're still your kid. Nothing's going to change that. We're in the family. Considering the greatness of his love, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This is a wonderful word, bestow. It implies that a king takes his robe off and puts it on the little pauper in front of him that occupies his kingdom. He takes his robe, steps off this throne, goes down the steps, and veils or puts the mantle of his glory on the little poor pauper who lives in his kingdom, and he is now brought into the family of the king. God has bestowed this love. I wonder if angels ever get jealous. I bet they do, in an angel kind of way. You got to be careful there, you know. He's blessed us. Behold what manner. I love that. I hope you mark it in your Bible. What kind of out of this world love has the Father bestowed upon us? Man, that's comforting. That's exciting. I like that. The next thing that we see here is looking into the love of God, considering its greatness, also appreciating its generosity. What do I mean by that? Well, he goes on. He says that we should be called the children of God. Do we have any right to be called the children of God? No. But God calls us his children, brings us into the family, that we have been given this wonderful generosity. I think that we need to work on appreciating that. It's almost maybe like a kid who's born into a family with, as we would say, the silver spoon. Is that the right word? Born with the silver spoon in their mouth? Last night, some of us had a wonderful time. I tell you something, I don't go there enough, and I need to try to go more, but we went to the prison and ministered to the inmates there. Met a wonderful man last night, born again, and he's in for life. He's not coming out. He killed a man, and you would never know it. You look at this guy, it's just amazing. But I got to tell you something, man. We got done with the message, and you never quite know exactly what's going to go on there because it's open. It's open chapel. Anybody can come, and people do. And this one guy, he was probably 6'4", about 350, 375. He came up to me. And he had such a deep low voice, I didn't understand a word he said. But he grabbed me. And you know what? I think when he was holding me, I think his elbows were almost touched. I'm just like this little man. And it was the most amazing thing. I was like, in his chest, just. And he said, "Praise the Lord." And he walked out. It was so amazing. And it's just so precious because you know what? These guys, when you say, "Let's turn in our Bibles," you know what they do? Amen. You just mentioned the word Bible. Amen. We're going to talk tonight about the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like, man, give me some Levi's and a blue shirt and let me hang out here for a while, you know? And then there's guys in the back and they're sitting there like this. And you see God working on them. We watched this last night. We had 8 guys accept Christ last night. And man, let me tell you, the message I give there, I would never give exactly in here. You'd talk a little different to those guys. You know, so, I mean, you give them the truth, but you'd package it in a different package. Man, I said, if there's anybody, and I made it like, we're not playing around here. You want to accept Christ? You know, be a man. And I'm not going to say what I said. Anyway, man, these guys. I mean, it was like, you know, maybe, kind of. Oh, man, they were like this. Like, reaching out a hand, like, throw me a life raft, will you? And you might say, well, they're in prison. Maybe they're trying to put that on their record. Hey, some of these guys are going nowhere. Did you know the largest AIDS unit or the largest population of AIDS patients in the California prison system? Do you know where they are? Do you know where they're held? About 2 miles from here. Is that even? No, golly, closer than that. Did you know that? Yeah, 2 blocks down the street. The largest population, if you have AIDS in the California prison system, you're sent to Chino to die. Tell you, those who have given their hearts to Christ, they appreciate him and his love, and they appreciate his generosity. The next thing that we look at is that we need to be understanding its uniqueness. For crying out loud, I wish that meant something spiritually, I just wanted to say it. For crying out loud, we are Christians. Yeah, yeah. The creator of the universe loves us. Uh-huh. He died for us. Thank you. Do you know that you can scour the earth to and fro? You can spend the rest of your life, and some people have, trying to find real meaning and real purpose, and to the most staunch critic still, do you know what the most reasonable faith is that they say in the world? There are people who, they're not Christians, and they've examined comparative religions. And they say, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, but Christianity makes more sense to me than all the others. It's the only one with a loving God. That makes sense. He's holy, he's loving, and he requires justice. So, according to his story, he sent his son to redeem mankind. Makes sense. Makes sense in business, makes sense in court, makes sense in life. Makes sense. But we as Christians, do we understand the uniqueness of our God? We've got a Bible who says, and he's constantly telling us, I am in love with you, child of God. That's what he's telling us. Verse 1 of this chapter tells us what we are. We're children of God. The uniqueness of that is incredible. It's fantastic. The second thing that we see tonight is what we will be like. This is fun. Verse 1 says who we are. Verse 2 says what we'll be like. Look at it with me. Waiting for the love of God. Now, Jack, wait a minute. I thought he loved us. He does love us. But there's going to be a fulfillment. There's going to be a culmination of it. You ever been in love? Maybe there's a remote love. I'm not a remote, but you know, you're separated by distance. And so there's notes sent or there's flowers sent. And every little arrival or every little thing is like is an announcement, a token, you know, and it's, ooh. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a seal into our hearts until he comes for us. Does he love us? Oh, absolutely. He loved us before we were born. He loves us now, and he's going to love us throughout all eternity. The cool thing is, once we leave this place, there won't be anything in between us and him when he comes to love on us. Now, I don't know what picture that generates in your mind, but it's going to be great. And we need to think about that. Waiting for the love of God. Why? He will transform us. We will be transformed. He's going to change us. Those things that plague us and the things of this world, he's going to wash away completely. We're going to be transformed. He says, verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. That's a fact. You're as much of a child of God right now as you ever will be. That's a fact. Positionally, you're his. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, or some translations say be like, but we know that when he is revealed, that is when the Lord descends into the atmosphere for the rapture of the church, it says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the first thing we see here is, beloved, now we are children of God. Positionally. The second thing that we see here is that our glory awaits us. Now, this almost sounds kind of funny to talk about, but we are bound for glory. You know the old song, this train is bound for glory, you know this train. Well, it's talking about us. I heard a song not too long ago. I don't know when he did it and how old it is, and maybe I'm bringing up a song that he did a zillion years ago, but you know the old rock and roll maniac Rod Stewart? Rod Stewart, I heard on the radio on the Oldies channel, singing this song that Jesus is coming and he's picking up passengers from coast to coast and he's going to glory, and you know, we're going to, something like, we're going to, you know, get ready to go with him, and it was a wonderful spiritual.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the two opening verses of 1 John chapter 3, the title, A Fellowship of Love. A Fellowship of Love, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through the three New Testament letters written by the one who often identified himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, a phrase that reveals the insight that that apostle indeed had to true divine love. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And hey, by the way, we want to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live every Wednesday evening on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. We hope you can make it. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.